How's everybody doing?
Tired.
Midterms, right?
Yep.
I heard. All right, well, let's put our thinking caps on for today and see how we do. So everybody did really well. I think you guys are starting to get the hang of this. What do you think? Huh?
This one was
easier. Oh, really? You think it was easy? Okay. All right. You don't think it has anything to do with having more experience?
Nope.
No. Maybe it was a little easier.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I feel like it was more clear than last time because it was literally like the first four are negative and the top three are like positive. So from there on, like you're at least within two.
Yeah.
More specific.
Okay. Daniel.
The last one, I couldn't figure out when to score a four. That like hurt me a lot.
Well, everybody did well, so it didn't hurt you that much.
Thank you.
So should we review? I sent out the gold standard answers, and so let's see. Now we're all looking for responses within one of the gold standard. So if you're one above or one below, that's fine. If you're two above or two below, that's problematic, and we can talk about it. So the first answer, okay, so, and I brought my trusty laser pointer, so I'm in business. For the first practice vignette, the rating was a 6. And as you can see, everybody, Sage and Lean had 7, but that's still within one. So that's fine. That's great. Anybody have any questions about the first vignette? Everybody seemed to nail that. Okay, great. The second vignette, the rating is a 2, right there. So here we have a little bit more variability. Rachel gave a 4, Daniel 3 is fine, Janet 2, Carolina 2, June 4, that's a little high, Charles 2, that's fine, G1, 3, fine, Nicole 2, great. Sage Lean 4, that's a little bit high. So it looks like for this one, at least 3 of you were thinking about it a little bit high, giving this vignette a little bit more credit than it deserves. So let me read the explanation here. Or should I read the vignette as well? Would you like me to refresh your memory? Let's see.
I'm not sure how it was a 2 because there wasn't that much like verbal harassment.
All right. So let me read the vignette first. Hi. We just started, so
okay.
No worries. Definitely from the 50s or 60s. So let me just set this up. So this person is responding to a TAT card. Remember we talked about that thematic apperception test? It's a standard test that's part of a psychological test battery that you give a patient, right? And these are black and white and gray drawings that are very ambiguous. You can interpret them in a lot of different ways. Everybody ever see a TAT card? You have? You have, okay. Did I describe it the way you would describe it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So from the 50s or 60s, that makes sense because all these cards look like black and white TV. Definitely from the 50s or 60s, this reminds me of Desplaines, Humphrey Bogart, and a brunette version of Marilyn Monroe. What's actually happening here? Apparently, they had gone on vacation, but Marilyn didn't know that Humphrey brought his mistress as well, in the background looking provocative. He's trying to get away from his wife to see the mistress. She won't let him go because she senses his desire to leave. Her feeling? Confused. She thought that she was going to have a lot of one-on-one time with her husband, but apparently, whether on vacation or not, he doesn't appreciate her and is not attracted to her. She's hurt. She notices the woman and knows she looks familiar but can't place her. His feeling? Although he's married and extramarital affairs are wrong, he can't help it. So that's not a feeling, right? So she's avoiding that question. He wants them both. That's getting close to a feeling, wanting. And his wife dying and his mistress leaving him. Boy, that took a left turn. All right, so here's the explanation for it too. In this narrative, a couple goes on vacation and the man brings his mistress as well. The woman, possibly wife, suspects that he's distracted and wants to leave. She feels inadequate, doesn't appreciate her, right? Not attracted to her, hurt. These are all affective words. In the end, he's alone. With regard to scoring, this starts at a 3 because it is mainly negative. Okay, you see anything positive in this story? I don't. It is given a score of 2 instead of a 3 because of the fact that he actively brings a mistress on vacation with his wife, and she's within close proximity to the wife in the narrative. This is provocative, right? Think about it. If you had a boyfriend or girlfriend, and they brought somebody else with you on vacation, it's very provocative, right? So, and caustic, meaning it burns. It is not given a score of 1 because it's not overtly abusive or malevolent, right? So this guy's not beating people up, but he's really being very provocative and annoying. And there's really nothing positive about this story at all. So that's why it too. So Sageline, does that make sense? Yeah, that's...
It was the fact that he never really talked about the emotions is what made me feel like the narrator of the book was indifferent.
Right, but there is enough. There's enough there to go on. Doesn't appreciate her, not attracted her, hurt. These are all... And he's alone. You know, that's all pretty emotional, but it's all negative. Right? So that's why we give it a 2. June, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You're good? All right. So let's go to the third one. The third vignette is a 1. So this is the lowest possible. So what am I expecting already? I'm expecting to read about some kind of physical abuse, right? Something very, very hurtful. So let's see what we got. In this example, a man killed a woman. Oh, well, there we have the abuse. A summary of this narrative is that people, particularly men, lose control and severely hurt other people, even if they don't mean to. This is harmful and abusive. For these reasons, this is given a score of 1. All right, so let's see what people did. Rachel 1, Daniel 3, Janet 1, Carolina 1, June 2, which is still within 1, that's fine. Charles 1, Jiwan 1, Nicole 1, and Sageline 5.
Because all 3 of them have 5, I have a hunch that I accidentally clicked when I was doing Excel. I dragged, and now all 3 of them were 5. But I don't think I scored this as a 5.
Okay.
Which is why I'm like, and I'm going in, and I'm literally checking my scoring right now to see if all 3 of these were supposed to be a 5. Like right.
Okay.
Now.
All right.
I think I scored this like a 1 or a 2. Because right. I saw killed her, and I was like, yeah, that has to be, that was physical abuse.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right, so, yeah, be careful in the future when you're entering your data into Excel, because sometimes you can, I know Excel has that habit of doing that. You just have to be wary of that.
So I'm more used to Google Sheets, and I don't really use Excel that often, which is why there's such a, like, such a curve when it comes to using, like, the actual
yeah.
Excel for me.
Yeah, I don't use Google, so. All right, so malevolent, abusive, caustic, that's the anchor point for one. And we see all of that here, malevolent, abusive, caustic. I mean, he's killed her, and he's wondering just what he did, and he has immense guilt, and he can't believe what he did. She didn't suffer a huge violent death, but she didn't deserve to die in the first place. And they knew each other, but it was a relational quarrel that turned bad. He eventually gets caught and admits to everything. So that's what a one sounds like. So let's look at the fourth one. And Elise is going to join us at some point, but not yet. Just wanted to check. So number four is a rating of 5, right? And we have 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. Great. Let's look at the other two. 5, 5, 5. We got perfect reliability in the lab on this one. Excellent. Good job. So should we even go over it? It seems like everybody nailed that. Unless, Sage Lean, you dragged that, but you were going to give it a different score.
I would have.
You would have given it what?
I would have given it
a 4.
But like, I see why it's.
Okay. I mean, you're still in the ballpark, so that's fine. Number 5, a 4. Oops. Wait a minute. Number 5 is a 4. 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. Four, four, five. Would you have given it a 5?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm so sorry about this. Now I don't remember what happened, because I see all of these 5s and I'm like, how did that happen? So I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to retrace my steps.
All right. Well, you know, in your ratings, you only rated 5 3 times.
Yeah.
Vignettes 3, 4, and 5.
I think I would have given that a 4.
Okay. All right. So we're all on the same page. So I guess we don't need to review that one. Number 6 is a 3. And we've got 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. Wow, that's a lot. Very good reliability today. 3, 3, and 4.
I think I kind of tried to stay on the safe side and I went with 4, and I tried to go with like indifferent a lot just in case, because I felt like that was always the safe option. Like if you're not sure, go with indifferent.
Okay, but you know, we're just practicing now, so you should go with your gut, what you think it really should be. Yeah, I think you'll learn how to use the coding system better if you do that. All right. In this example, relational interactions are viewed in a negative way. These two characters are not on the same page with how they feel about each other. Generally speaking, their timing is off. With regard to specific affective tone words, fear of being alone as well as frustration are overtly expressed. For these reasons, this is given a prototypic score of 3. All right, so in 3 is largely negative or unpleasant, but not abusive. So that's why you wouldn't give it a 4, because then you're moving up into territory that's more positive. Let's look at number 7. Seven is seven. And we've got seven, 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 seven. Five is a little low. Six is okay. Who was the five? June. All right. And seven, seven, seven. So, June, you want to say why you gave it a five? What was your rationale? You know, let me read it first. That should jog everybody's memory. So vignette seven is, I remember my father bouncing me up and down on a pillow and singing a song to me. I was really young. I was laughing and giggling. I enjoyed that a lot. He was smiling and laughing too. I remember my mom coming into the room too, and she started singing along. That's really all I remember about it. So the prompt here for this type of vignette is, tell me your earliest memory. And so this person was reciting what came to mind about their earliest memory. So given that vignette, June, do you remember why you rated it a five?
I don't know, maybe I interpreted the bouncing up and down part as like a sort of physical manipulation.
Okay, but I hear what you're saying, but is there any evidence for the interpretations being negative? Because the way I read it, seems like everything's positive about it. So the bouncing up and down, you could interpret it as manipulation, but you'd have to have some supporting evidence for that. All right?
Okay.
Yeah, so what the authors write about this one is, in this narrative, father, child, and mother are described in a positive fashion. Positive behaviors such as laughing and giggling are mentioned. Positive interactions such as singing a song and bouncing me up and down are stated. So the authors are interpreting that as a positive interaction. All three family members are enjoying this experience. For these reasons, this is coded as seven. All right, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions about this one? From anybody? All right. Number eight. Eight is a one. We got one, 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 one all the way through. That's great. G1 gave it a two, which is still in the ballpark, and one and one. So excellent. Anybody have questions about that one? All right. Go to number nine. Number nine is a six. We got six, 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 six. Six, six, and seven. A little bit high, but nothing horrible. Do you have a question about it, Sage-Lean, or are you okay?
I'm rereading it.
Okay.
I'm not sure why this is not, why this is mostly positive. This nine. For me, I would still give it a seven. I think about it, happy and content, and really.
All right, let's take a look at it. This is an elderly gentleman who is about to wake up his son, who's been napping, to tell him that it's time to get up and go to work. Now, so far, I don't hear anything positive or negative. It's neutral. And he's trying to do it as gently as possible. So he wakes him up, and he goes to work. Thinking or feeling? He's happy and content. So there's a positive. He's happy and content. He's thinking he enjoys spending time with him. Now, who's the whose point of view is this story coming from?
It's coming from a third party.
Well, who's happy and content? Yes, correct. Do we know anything about the feeling state of the son?
No.
And that's why it doesn't get a seven. Because with a seven, the feelings, which have to be positive, right, are expressed in multiple characters. But we're only hearing one set. Now let's see what the one set of feelings. So let's see what the authors say. A behavior that denotes AFF is trying to do it as gently as possible. Positive emotions described include happy, content, and enjoy. This is scored a 6 and not a 7 because the son's feelings are unexpressed, which is what I just said. So we only know one person's feelings in this story. And because we don't know what the son is feeling, it gets bumped down from a 7 to a 6. All right? All right. Any other questions about this one? All right, let's go to number 10, the last one. Let me just check on Elisa. She's not with us yet. Let me just see if she's texted me. Not yet. All right. Number 10 is a 3. 3, 3, 3, 3, 2. That's June. It's a little low, but that's fine. 3 for Charles. And then, oh, 2, 2, 2. The last three are a little low, but still not that horrible. Daniel.
I want to talk about a certain case with scoring a 6 or a 7.
Yeah.
What if you get but there's only one character in it. So is it impossible to score?
It's impossible to get a 7 then.
Okay.
7 is off the table in that situation. All right. So now with this one, most people scored it a 3, but we had a significant minority of 2s, which is a little bit low. Similar to number 8, there's only one character directly depicted in the narrative. However, unlike number 8, there's an allusion to another person. Feelings include devastated. Behaviors denoting painful affect include collapsed and resting her head to console herself. We discover at the end that someone close to her passed away. In sum, painful experiences, specifically loss, resonate with this person. This is largely negative and unpleasant to the person, as explicitly described and coded a 3. Here's an example of where EIR, that's what we're going to be talking about in a few minutes, that's having to do with relationships, would be higher given her response to the loss of someone who she is close to. This will be expanded upon in the next chapter. So it's a 3 because basically everything's negative, right? So a 2 is a little bit on the low side because there's nothing really like provocative or angry going on here. It's more of a sad tone.
Yeah, the last line, if I had paid closer attention to the last line, I would have given it up. I didn't notice it was unexpected, it was accidental.
Okay, let me see. This woman just got some bad news at the hospital and she collapsed, dropped her keys, and is resting her head to console herself on the bench. She's devastated. She has to wait until somebody comes with the information she seeks as to what happened. What happened? Someone close to her died. It was unexpected. It was accidental. So, accidental automatically rules out violence. malevolence, right? So then you're thinking a higher score. All right? Yes?
I thought the mention of, like, although, like, the action wasn't, like, done, I guess, the mention of death would make it a little lower than the three, because, like, death itself would be...
But only if the death is caused by an aggressive, angry action. Death in of itself doesn't mean a one. Death by murder, yes, that's a one. So it really depends on the context of the death. But the death clearly is negative, it's not positive, right? So then you're thinking one, two, three, those are your options. But a one is ruled out because this person clarifies it's not a violent death. Okay? All right, any questions about AFF? I think you guys did really well. You crushed it. Very proud of you guys. So the next scale, so remember we're learning eight scales. The scores G has eight scales associated with it. You now have learned two. You've mastered two scales, so congratulations. Woohoo! Now we're going to learn the third scale, and this is called emotional investment in relationships. I'm just going to kind of review the highlights, and then we're good for next week. So this is the ability for a person to experience intimacy with another person. I don't mean just mean sexual intimacy. I mean like emotional intimacy, like really getting to know a person, sharing feelings with each other, right? Feeling close to another person, emotional sharing. So the extent of interaction between people as well as the quality of their relationships. So in some sense, there's a little bit of overlap with complexity of representations, right? But whereas that one's more structural, this is more the investment, like how much are you committed to that person? So you think about boyfriends or girlfriends, or you think about mothers or fathers or siblings, you know, how invested are you in those relationships? To the extent that you're really, really invested, then you get a higher score, all right? If you think about a baby is born, and what's the baby's concern? What's their number one concern?
Survive,
but how? What do they do to survive?
Seeking care.
They seek care, right? And like food, right? They seek protection, and they express behaviors that communicate, I'm hungry, or I'm tired, or I'm scared, right? These are emotions that are expressed even in babies. But guess what? That relationship is totally one-sided, isn't it? The baby is completely focused on himself or herself. The baby's not focused on the parent and the parent's needs. The baby's focused only on his or her needs. So it's a need, the parent-child relationship is strictly a need-gratifying relationship. The parent has to satisfy the baby's needs. The baby is not going to be satisfying the parent's needs. So that's the prototype for a score of one on this scale. And you would imagine that as an infant grows older, they're going to have more of an emotional investment in other people and other relationships and be focused on, oh, what's wrong with you? Are you feeling sad? Like empathy and all of that, right? Feeling what another person is feeling. A baby doesn't have that capability. Now, if a person's development is arrested or stunted, they are going to continue treating other people as vehicles for their own need fulfillment, right? I can think of some politicians like that. You know, they never really got beyond the infancy stage, and they don't see anybody beyond themselves. So those folks would get a one, right? But as you get older, you do have more investment, just generally speaking, typically, you would gain more investment in other people as you get older. right? Until you become a parent. And then, you know, you basically live your life for your kids. So let's look at each of the anchor points. So one tends to focus primarily on his or her own needs in relationships, has tumultuous relationships or as few, if any, relationships. Got it? So think baby. Three, somewhat shallow relationships or only alludes to others. There's a hint of others in there, right? But it's not explicit so much. Five, demonstrates conventional sentiments of friendship, caring, love, empathy, right? So that's five. And a seven is tends to have deep, committed relationships with mutual sharing, emotional intimacy, and interdependence, and respect, positive connectedness, and appreciation of others. Now, when there's only one character in the story, like that one that we just read, if we were rating it for EIR, it would get a 2 just automatically. So you get a freebie there. If there's no one else mentioned or even implied, no relationship, it's a 2. Daniel.
Oh, I'm not raising my hand.
Oh, you're just stretching.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. All right. So for a 2, you would give a 2 if there's a lack of interpersonal connection or interpersonal relatedness, or if only one person's mentioned, or if it's between a 1 and a 3. All right? A 3 is just shallow relationships, little involvement between people, each person kind of doing their own thing. If you see toddlers playing, they often play together, but they're doing their own thing. That's called parallel play. Have you ever heard that phrase before, parallel play? Like if you took developmental psychology, they teach developmental psych here at Emory? Okay, so most likely you've heard about parallel play in that class. That's sort of the metaphor for this particular anchor point, where there's just kind of like parallel play going on. So there is acknowledgement, there's another person in the room, but they do their thing and I do my thing. So that would be a 3. So a 3 would be if a daughter mentions her father being present at the event, but does not elaborate on the interaction with him. Okay. Then the scores of 4 or 5, then you're starting to get into the beginnings of mature, adaptive aspects of emotional investment. People reflecting on other people. All right. So there's a shift from I and me to we and us. So it's not I do this, I do that. It's we do this, we do that. So the extent to which that's highlighted determines how high a score is given. So for a 4, there's connection or interaction between two people. However, oftentimes only one of the characters' emotional attachment via thoughts and her feelings is directly expressed in the narrative. When there's a 5, there are conventional sentiments, right? We talked about that. There is some emotional reciprocity starting at 5. The higher levels, there's a dominant theme in the narrative of emotional investment. Level of intimacy and connection deepens, closeness, interdependence, respect, positive connectedness are evident. All right? Going out for coffee with a friend, sharing thoughts and feelings, that's a 5. Standard friendship. If the interactions deepen and they begin to focus on the closeness between them, you know, I really like how you spend time with me every week. We go out to coffee together. I really appreciate that because, you know, I depend on you. All right. And the other person says, yeah, me too. Then you're starting to talk about a 6, right? How much they appreciate each other, how much they have grown because of each other. And then a higher score of a 7 would be romantic relationships or parental relationships are discussed in depth and are generally positive, and there's a mutual commitment there between the two parties. Does that make sense? You have a general feeling for the contours of this particular rating scale? Daniel?
Can you explain to me a four?
A four. All right. A four, because it's an even number, doesn't have its own anchor point at the bottom of the page, but it does say here, it's the beginning of mature adaptive aspects of emotional investment. And then for a score of four, there's evident connection or interaction between two people. However, oftentimes, only one of the character's emotional attachment via thoughts and or feelings is directly expressed in the narrative. Remember that story about the elderly gentleman and the son? And we only know about the elderly gentleman's feelings about the son. That would be scored probably a four on this scale, not the AFF scale, but on the EIR scale, that'd probably be a four. All right, any other questions about EIR? Yes, Daniel.
Can I have a description for one? Is it kind of like psychopathy in a way?
It could be. A one would be like completely narcissistic, totally self-absorbed, no one else exists or matters, only my needs are what matters.
It's like dark triad traits?
Like what?
Dark triad traits.
That could be. You're talking about like killing animals?
Yeah, sure.
Wetting the bed, and what's the third one?
Wait, wetting the bed counts as one?
Huh?
Wetting the bed counts as one?
It does.
Oh, okay.
Wetting the bed, killing animals, and what was the third one? Anybody remember? I don't remember it.
Remember what?
What the third triad is, third of the triad.
Oh,
I know what it is, setting fires. Setting fires is the third one.
The dark triad I was thinking about.
Oh, what were you thinking
about? My dark triad was like narcissism, Machiavellianism, and psychopathy.
Oh, okay.
That dark triad.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that dark triad. Yes, I was.
I was so confused.
What?
The McDonald triad, it's for serial killers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is it called?
I've never treated a serial killer in therapy yet, so I'm not an expert.
Killing animals, setting fires, McDonald triad.
Well, so what I was talking about actually are the elements of someone who's heading toward conduct disorder, like a child.
Mm-hmm.
So a child who wets the bed, kills animals, and sets fires. You're looking at someone who's on a trajectory toward antisocial personality disorder. So, but anyway, so this makes sense. I mean, I would urge you to actually read the narrative with the practice examples for next week. Code the practice narratives. Send me your ratings by 10 p.m. on Monday, and we'll come right back here and talk again. I did want to mention one other thing. No one has approached me yet about an abstract for a poster. Now, we still have time, but time is running out. We have a little over a month. So if you have an interest in spearheading a poster for the American Psychological Association convention coming up next August, using these data, please think about a hypothesis that you want to test. I mean, all you need is a hypothesis. Send it to me, or we can discuss it in here, and then we can go from there and create an abstract, which we can then send. The deadline is probably early to mid-December for the abstract. And then sometime in the spring, we'll hear from APA whether our abstract was accepted or not. If it's accepted, then we get to present a poster. Woohoo! If it's not, then we get to go home and tears will flow. So, you know, be thinking about a hypothesis that you might want to test. Not only using these data, the scores data, but I had sent to you a few weeks ago the coding systems that have already been used on this data that we're going to be coding, that you can then relate these data to. I also sent you last year's poster, which also had to do with the scores. So you have no shortage of info.
Same
coding system, different data. That was a child psychotherapy case. We're going to be doing an adult psychotherapy case. All right, so I don't want to put you on the spot today, but maybe next week people can come in with hypotheses that, and you know, we'll talk about it, and some of them might not make sense for this project. Some might make a lot of sense. You know, we'll just talk about them, and if you don't want to share openly among the lab, you send it to me privately.
Well, while we're here, I have an idea that I'm kind of curious for.
Let's hear it.
But I was talking to you about the pauses in speech, whether there's more circular verbiage if someone's having a difficulty in speaking, and how would circular conversations be scored compared to conversations that are clear and concise? Because I know you mentioned that shorter conversations tend to be scored lower.
Yes.
But at the same time, when they are not getting to the point, that also must be scored lower too, right?
No, I hear you. I hear you.
So that would be a possible hypothesis. If you're not sure, then if you are unsure of what you're saying, you're more likely to be scored lower or coded lower.
Right, so then the question becomes, how do we code that? How do we code the pauses and the what we call it in psychology is circumstantial reasoning, the circumstantial thinking. How would we code that in the transcripts?
We could code it by seeing how the way we're coding it here, we're coding it based on the confusion, whether it was a confusing and it just got a one, if it was too confusing and confabulated. But if it wasn't confusing, then you got a higher score. I'm thinking about more scores, G, the first assignment.
Right. Well, we are going to, so every transcript that we code is going to have a complexity score.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could be one variable that we look at, right? Complexity of representations, of mental representation. That could be one of the, but then, so every hypothesis has to be two variables, a minimum of two variables, because really a hypothesis is nothing more than postulating a relationship between two variables. So that could be one of the variables, and then we have to come up with another one. And it could be from this coding system, but it also could be from the other coding systems that have already been applied, or the other coding system, singular, that has already been applied to the data, the psychotherapy transcripts that you're going to be coding. And I sent the coding system is called the psychotherapy process Q set, and this coding system codes for psychotherapy process, meaning what goes on in a relationship between the therapist and the patient. How would we characterize the quality of that relationship? And so there are two ways that you can use the coding system. One way is to factor analyze it so you get certain what's known as interaction structures over time. What that means is that the patterns of reciprocal interaction between the therapist and the patient. So the therapist and the patient, they have characteristic ways of relating to each other. And they keep repeating over and over again across a number of sessions. And when you factor analyze this coding system, you can identify usually about four different patterns or interaction structures across time. So we could do something with that and relate one of these interaction structures with the complexity of representations.
And the complexity of representation would be the same thing as circumstance. I don't think that's the same thing as circumstantial reasoning, is it?
There's some overlap there. If you're thinking about something completely different, then we'd have to actually go back and code all the transcripts for that one variable. Which is possible, but I don't know that everybody wants to spend even more time learning another coding system that you've created. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think I want to create another coding system first either. I think I'm good.
Right, so let's use what we've got.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way to use the PQS, the psychotherapy process QSET. The other way to use it is to take the ratings and you correlate them with prototypes. So, you guys familiar with different theoretical orientations in psychotherapy? Has anyone ever heard of psychodynamic psychotherapy?
Yes,
yeah?
There's 7 different kinds of perspectives, right?
They're different ways of working. So, psychodynamic is one, cognitive behavioral is another. Anybody here with cognitive behavioral therapy? Okay. Then humanistic therapy, right? There are a range of different theoretical orientations. I think psychodynamic and cognitive behavioral are probably the most well-known. But there are a series of them, and people, including me, have collected ratings from experts on what the ideal or prototypical psychodynamic session or cognitive behavioral session would look like. What are the ingredients? Right, and so then you take those prototypes and you can correlate them with your data, and then you can say, well, in this particular session, how closely adherent was the therapist to a psychodynamic orientation, or how closely adherent was the therapist to a cognitive behavioral orientation? So we have those data too that we can rely on. So I want you to think about this. I can talk about this some more if you want next week, but I do want people to think about a hypothesis. Daniel.
So how does the APA determine which abstracts to like accept and like reject? Is it like dependent on like what they're like thinking is interesting, or?
Well, how well written they are.
Oh, just how well written.
That's a big part. Also, the APA is a massive organization. Imagine how big it is. I mean, they attract like 30,000 people to their conventions, right? So the APA is divided up, and you can go to apa.org and you can see this for yourself. The APA is divided into a number of sections. So for example, or divisions. So for example, division 39 is psychoanalytic psychotherapy or psychoanalytic psychology. So that's one that I know about because that's my... They have all kinds. There's a child and adolescent division. There is a psychotherapy division. There's all kinds of divisions. I think there's a forensic division. So everything under the sun. And so what you do is when you submit your abstract for possible acceptance for a poster, you have to submit with a certain section or division, right? Which division would this fit in? And so some divisions are more stringent in their criteria for selection than others. So, you know, we want to keep that in mind as well. Does that answer your question, Daniel?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? I know you guys are laboring under the thoughts of exam week this week, midterms, but hopefully you'll come back refreshed and invigorated next week, and we'll have some ideas that we can kick around. Okay?
I have another test next week.
Oh, the following week?
Yeah, I've been having tests every week since last
week. They don't end.
They never end.
They don't end.
Wow. All right.
Perpetually exhausted.
Perpetually exhausted, okay. All right, I hear you. Well, hopefully you can dig deep, Daniel. Just dig down deep. And come up with some kind of hypothesis.
You should come up with some like jokes or do something fun, you know.
For the abstract?
No, I mean just like in general. Our next meeting should be like.
Can we meet at Lowwater and just chill? It's not cold outside. If it's frigid, then no.
It's gonna be cold.
It's gonna be cold.
Yeah, it's only gonna get worse, Adrian.
Yeah.
It's not gonna get warmer. We're already at the end of October.
The warmth has lasted longer than I expected it to.
We all feel that way.
So I'm like hoping that it doesn't go away.
I don't think so. Let's meet here next week, okay?
Okay.
All right. So I'll see you all next week?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.